really risen and has appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them as they broke bread. Father, as we look into your eyes today, as we trust you for your revelatory release over us, that our eyes would be open to see you. That you, Father, as Jesus told us as he was leaving, that you, Father, had sent your Son for the release of the captives, for the repentance of sin. Oh God, today we clamor together, we gather together to come into your holy place, desiring your gift of repentance, your gift of repentance. Lord, remorse for our choices is not repentance. Repentance is a gift from you that we embrace, we choose to receive. And Father, that our cleanliness on the inside would then line up fully with the purity of heart that we desire. And Father, so to have true freedom reign, it won't be just a feeling or an emotion. It will be a recognition of who you are, a recognition of your greatness. It won't be about our lives and whether we're going up or down. It will be about you. And when our eyes are fixed and set on you, and when we our hearts say that we truly believe that you are the author and you are the perfecter and finisher of our faith, then our hearts will be at peace. So today, Lord, as we step into those truths, again and again and again, for us to confirm before you that we belong to you and that in you there is no condemnation, but in you is repentance. Oh, oh Father, let freedom reign in this place. Showers of mercy and grace, not to be taken for granted. That we would treasure that which you purchased for us. And then our eyes would be enlightened. Our hearts would be awakened to the vastness of your glory. And striving will be no more. There's no confusion in that place, Papa. There's only your heart and your way and your will. You're the narrow path. The highway to holiness, the purity that comes, that's released as we climb that holy mountain, desiring the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. Oh God, I just invite each one of us as we sing, "Let freedom reign in this place." We just sing that again if we could, to let the Lord search our hearts with his loving kindness and bring us to a place where real repentance can take place. As we have already turned our hearts and lives over to him, let there be a refreshing, let there be a cleansing for each one of us. We may call it baggage, we may call it hindrance, we may call all kinds of things in our life, but we just want complete freedom inside of us that already has been given and released. We just want to come into agreement with it. So, Father, let freedom reign on the inside of our hearts. If you feel a desire to just step forward as a step of faith for you, whatever it would be, oh God, thank you that you purify us. Take us to that deeper place in the heavenly realm. Take us there, Lord, because we are determined to climb that holy mountain. We're determined, oh God. We're determined, Lord God, by your Spirit that you make us able, and that in you there is just joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. That's really what repentance brings, just the release of joy, peace, and righteousness. That's what's so beautiful about this gift. So let's sing, "Let Freedom Reign." And with all, if we can even put hands on our hearts, Lord, this is the place where freedom reigns. Not a building, but in our hearts. Oh God, release your presence. Release your healing. Release your delivering love right now. As we climb that mountain, our eyes are open. Can you see him? Our eyes are open. Our ears are poised right now. You hear the lover of our soul saying, "You're amazing. You're so special. You're a treasure. I laid down my life for you. I raised from the dead for you so you could enjoy me and be enjoyed by me." Oh, yes, Lord, cleanse us. Release us, empower us, purify us, reveal yourself. Let the spirit of revelation in this place touch us deeply, Lord. Let our heart commitment to you knows no bounds. And Lord, that our heart commitment to you rises above what we think, what we feel, what we know. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, lift your eyes to the Heavenly One. Oh, God, we want you and your ways. We lay it down, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. Shower of mercy and grace. Holy Spirit, thank you that we would be known in heaven by you and feared in hell. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, feel his cleansing grace. Just embrace that forgiving wash right through our hearts. The restoration of our souls coming as we embrace the lover, the lover, the lover of our souls. Oh, Rabba Shaka. Yes. With holy hands lifted to heaven. Oh, God, my life is in your hands. I give you my heart. I give you my thinking. Let my mind be completely captured by your love and your ways. That all confusion would be ended. Only your heart and your way, nothing else. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your treasures being released. Oh, Rabba. Oh, Papa. Oh, let the fire of your heart of love just burn through us now. Yay. Oh, there's no demon too strong for you. Command it to leave you. Oh. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing that can hold you down. You are bought with a price. The ransom is for us. Yay, Jesus, you've done it for us, oh God. Moraba, the resurrection power, sweep through the hearts right now, every heart right now. Feel his love and forgiving, cleansing. Wow. Yay, release your giftings and callings and anointings. Increase right now. That no man's way. Wow. Yes. Oh.
Open the eyes of our
hearts. Open the eyes, Lord, of our hearts now. want to see you now, Jesus. Release your joy. Greater release of peace in this house.
Oh.
We step in and receive that gift of repentance. It's not a light thing that you did, Jesus. Wow. Of Luke 24, when Jesus appeared after his resurrection, his first words, right before, fairly soon before he was going to ascend, he said, "Peace be to you. Peace. Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt? Why does doubt arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see what I have." Then he ate with them. "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And in verse 45 he says, Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Great joy. And we're continually in the temple praising God. Father, we thank you. For even though that's the end of the Gospel of Luke, Father, we are proclaimers. We are testifiers. Father, we walk in that joy only because of you and what you've done as you've raised from the dead. Lord, that we will see nations bowing to you. And Lord, as we jump in and take advantage of all that you purchased for us now. Oh God, we just fall deeper in love with you. And we will not forget our testimony. We will not forget that we have a testimony. And we will run from anything that would try to rob us of that. Oh Lord, we praise you. We continually praise you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, cleansing, Lord. Oh, Rabba Shaka. Yay. It's all about you, Jesus. It's about you.
Oh.
Yes, Lord, we lift you in this house.
Shining in the light of your glory.
Yes, Lord.
Pour out your power and love.
We receive your power.
We receive
holy, oh, God,
holy,
release
holy.
Your power again. That we live in a time, a wonderful time, such a privilege to be alive right now, Lord God, such an honor that we are in the last of the last days, whatever that really means. We know by your word, by the prophet's revelation, we know, Lord God, that the clock is ticking, and we thank you, Lord, that as we ascend into your holy mountain, Lord, Father, that we will become the message to be able to testify through our life of your greatness, your goodness, your ways, your heart, your purity, just overtaking us. Let it be. Let it be today. What an honor, what a privilege. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you that only you can open our eyes. Only you can awaken us. But Lord, you will feed the hungry heart. And you even increase our hunger. It's all about you. Thank you, Papa. We love you. Yes, Lord. For those who are experiencing physical pain in their bodies right now, just raise your hands. We're just going to trust that because of who Jesus is and what he has done, that the great release from heaven will come. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We worship you today in spirit and in truth. And Father, wherever we have doubted you and the fullness of what you have accomplished and who you are, Father, we bend our knee and ask for your forgiveness. Today, Lord God, we lift up those with holy hands, Lord, who are feeling sick. And Father, we don't pray a nice little prayer. Father, we know that we live in heavenly places and we pull down the healings from heaven right now. We know that we are seated with you in heavenly places. We believe that, oh God. Forgive us for doubting that. Forgive us for our unbelief. Thank you, Jesus, that as you are seated at the right hand of the Father, as our great high priest and intercessor, we can have these things. So, Holy One, we agree with heaven today. And Father, by the spirit of revelation and healing and deliverance, we release healing all over this house today. For every sickness, every ailment, every infirmity, Father, we thank you That because of you, we have the right and the responsibility and the joy to embrace your healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the freedom. And Father, where deliverance needs to take place so that healing can reign, Father, we lift that up to you as well. For those who truly want to be set free, truly want to be completely delivered, are willing to lay down and say, your way, not my way or my thinking, you can be free and walk in full deliverance. If that is you, you can feel free to come up at the end of the service today, and we can pray for you, because Jesus came to set us all free. And on Tuesday, Ann Stutz, as Christy was leading worship, Ann read a wonderful handout, actually, from Julie Meyer. She gave a testimony of a vision that she actually walked in. And if you didn't receive this, I believe it would be an encouragement for you to step into deeper places so that we can embrace the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. It's really powerful, and it will enlighten you and also give you encouragement. So God bless you. So if that's you, you can just put your hand up. If you didn't get one and you'd like one, maybe someone can help pass these out. Just put your hand up if you'd like that. God is good. Anything he does brings peace. Anything the enemy tries to do brings discomfort and stress. There's no stress in the kingdom. Amen. Just a little report for you on our land in northern Ghana, for those who didn't hear. We now have electricity, which is amazing. And there have been 4 samples of water that have been taken from the land by Brother Alfred and his crew, and they're determined to see which is the best sample and where the best place will be. They've tried to bring the big well-digging machine, I don't know how large it is, onto the land, but there's been an excess of rain, so the land was a little shaky. I didn't talk to Pastor Semmel yesterday, so I really don't know if they started it or not. But that's where we are. So we ask you to continue to lift up this project. It's an amazing kingdom release that God is doing it. He's increasing, and people are coming to Jesus up in the north. We're seeing great things happen. We are also expanding the building that's in the north, and we're in the process of molding 1,000 cement blocks. The first 500 were finished last week, and they're in the process of the second. So we're adding 2 rooms onto that. So that will be our the first structure that's being increased. It's actually tripled in size, I guess. Would that be tripled? Yay, God. So God is doing amazing things, and our team leaving on June 1st is going to be sweeping in and leading and bringing the release of heaven to earth for the leaders there as well in the north. So praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Look what he's doing. So we have to rebuild the shed that was blown down by some wind, and we just took that as a bump that gives us the opportunity to overcome, and that is being overcome right now. And so that's being rebuilt as well. So praise the Lord for what he's doing. Amen. So children are released. If you're new to this place, they're released into kingdom land. So there's a place for them to go. We have amazing teachers, instructors. So God bless you. Is there anyone who still needs one of the handouts? We didn't have enough. We need a few more? Okay. Sorry. We hope to have enough. So we will do those, yes, and then have those, yes. Can you raise your hands again so we can see if you didn't get one? Raise your hands over on this side. Can you see on that side?
there? Or I am? You can hear me? That's it. Good thinking. Let's pray. Father, we know today you're using an imperfect person to deliver a perfect message. Thank you, Lord. How do you do that? You take a risk. You take a real risk. Father, we thank you for entrusting us with the gospel. And it's not just a small little message. It encompasses everything. Thank you, Lord, that you are so willing to take a risk on us. Thank you, Father. What would we do without you? Only you have the words of eternal life. Thank you, Lord. Speak today. Speak by Holy Spirit. Go to the depths of each person's heart. Go under the doors, Lord. If the doors are closed, go through that little crack at the bottom. And speak to hearts, Father. Speak to my heart in a fuller, greater way than you already have. I want you to speak today. I want you to bring your message today. It'll be fuller, greater, a stronger message. It will be a transforming message. So you bring it. Holy Spirit, you bring it. I'm trusting you to bring it, Lord. I'll open my mouth, but go way beyond my words, way beyond any concepts that I could bring across, way beyond any spiritual truths that I could share. Go way beyond, more Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit, more Holy Spirit. We invite you to take over this time. And if I'm knocked to the floor before the end of it, awesome. Be the best service all year. Maybe all century, Lord. We'll take it from your hand. Give us your good gifts today, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I mentioned a word in the prayer, risk. It just is pounding my spirit this week. Risk. What a risk the Father takes on us. Think about Adam and Eve in the garden. Why didn't he just put a fence around it? Why didn't he just, you know, do what the electric company does? Warning, warning, warning. You know, signs all over high fences to let you know you could be electrocuted. You could be actually dead coming into this area. Why didn't he do that around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Would have made it easier on us. We'd still be in the garden. And we wouldn't have to go to Target or Kohl's or anything. We wouldn't have to make a fashion statement. We'd be all set. He'd take care of all of our food needs. I used to tease some of the girls on the mission trips that, you know, there's a few grapes over there. You could bring them over and drop them in my mouth, you know, bring me a drink and so on. They never caught on to that. Maybe it was that message last time I spoke. I don't know. They were ahead of the game. But we would have had free and easy, wouldn't we? Think about it. Your whole family would be in love with each other. Never a problem. Never a problem. Every one of them would love God and walk with God and listen to God. Childbirth would be a breeze. Would be. Be awesome. Back there in the garden. Just fence the tree in. But he took a risk, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He gave us access to the tree, and he didn't fence it in. took a huge, huge risk on our choice. Maybe you're not convinced yet. What about the people that were in the ark? He trusted that they would remain faithful and replenish the earth. That was a huge risk. Wipe out everybody else on earth except for just a few. How many know how many were in the ark? Eight, weren't there? I think there was eight. Eight people. You're trusting to repopulate the earth and take care of business. What a risk. Gideon's army. Carve it down to the, you know, bare minimum. And then send them off to battle without any weapons. Why does God insist on doing that with mankind? He insists on taking a big risk on us. He insists on believing in you more than you believe in yourself. Because of what He can provide for you. What He can do inside of your heart. He believes in you more than you believe in you. Why would He give you such a huge destiny and a huge dream for your life if He didn't believe in you? He trusts that you'll make the right choice. He'll take a risk on you. Now, what if you're an important component? What happens to reach the nations? And you screw it up. He's going to take a risk. Think about it. We're dust. And we're the only ones that get the gospel to give to the nations. We're a bunch of mud fashioned. And we get the gospel, the precious word of God for the nations, entrusted to us. Why not bring those angels down? They've at least been in the presence of God tangibly. Bring them down here. They're pretty good at proclaiming and seem to have trumpets going on and the whole host of heaven shows up. They make pretty good announcements. Why not just put them at the four corners of the earth and speak it out, the gospel to the four corners? No, He trusts that you're going to make the right decision. You're going to be the mouthpiece. Despite all your foibles, you're the plan, man. You're the plan. Think about it. He gives unconditional love. Why would He do that? Think about it. That means we can flop, fail, and flounder, and He'll come in and embrace us like He did with the prodigal son. Why would He do that? Why wouldn't He go to the lecture approach? Now, my father was not very good at lectures. He only gave me one that I can remember of. A real lecture. One that was, you know, more than just, you should take out the trash. Or, you know, it's best if you take out the trash. He was a garbage man. He was very interested in trash. So my mom was the one that gave the lectures. But the one lecture that he gave, you got to watch those girls. They'll get you in trouble. That was his lecture. I don't know how I did on that one. I think I did okay. Unconditional love reaches out when we're at our worst. (Laughter) guess. Wow. I'm on holy ground. I did get away a couple of days this week with Pastor Mary Pat. We took a couple of weeks because, you know, we were thinking, or a couple of days. Yeah. It felt like a couple of weeks, a couple of the moments, because it was so enjoyable. But we wanted to get away a couple of days before the rapture took place, you know, so. So we got that in, and I'm here to report, you know, that it took place, and I don't know, I don't see anybody missing, so. That's why I'm preaching today. We got to get better. We got to do better. Yeah, I was counting the moments. Why does he choose that approach with us, unconditional love? Why does he choose forgiveness and grace rather than law and justice? I mean, law, you know, sounds good in many ways. If we didn't have any laws, we'd have people driving all over, running into people. Well, they do anyway, but have more of them running into people and in their own speed and all of that stuff. Well, isn't law good? Why does he choose forgiveness and grace? And to the max, he doesn't even hold it back. It's lavished on us. Why does he take that risk? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Since he is the ultimate lawgiver, you know, why not? I mean, he could list all the laws he wanted us to keep and then enforce it. As the big cop in the sky, he could enforce it. Well, of course, there wouldn't be anybody left. That might be a problem. What if he had fully enforced the punishments in the Old Testament? Fully enforced it. You know, he did swallow a few people sometimes. Well, he didn't, but like the ground did. Things like that. Why didn't he just enforce it for everybody across the board? I mean, he has every right. It would be just for us to pay the penalty. Well, somehow he got that unconditional love mixed in there with the justice, and he just wouldn't do it. Because he's love to the max, he is love itself. He just won't completely let it fly and fry all of us. That's amazing risk that he takes to let us tramp around on the earth and make our own decisions. We could mess up other people. In fact, we have. Everyone in here has been a horrible witness for Christ at some point. Come on. Some people don't like hearing that statement, but it is the truth. We have not been the best witness for Christ. Now, we have a heart to be, maybe. We want to be, but somehow we weren't. Whoa, okay, let's all bend our heads over and feel terrible about that. Oh, he even factors that in. And has grace over us and lets us grow as little children. Praise the Lord. Why didn't he just say, grow up, get over yourself, and do what I told you to do, and that's it. If you don't, then this is what's going to happen to you. I mean, that's what earthly fathers and mothers do all the time. Yeah, yeah. Well, he had a better way, of course. He set the standard high. He knew we wouldn't reach it and already provided Jesus to reach it for us. And we just kind of take that gift pretty sweet. A gift. But it's a little bit like, don't the rich want to get richer? I mean, haven't you heard that before? The rich want to get richer? I'm not talking to anybody in here because, you know. But don't the rich want to get richer? Haven't you heard that? Anyone hear that before? Then why would he lavish all these gifts on us? Some of the most ungrateful are those that have abundance. Why would he do that? That's such a risk. Give us all these gifts. And we receive the vast majority of them at the point of salvation. Well, isn't it guaranteed that we're just not going to be grateful enough for them? We'll just want more? Come on, God. You haven't given me that missing piece yet in my life. For some, it might be, that extra million. You know? For some, it might be that future mate. I want the future now. For someone else, I want good feelings. Give me the good feelings of life. Where's the fun? I have one young guy, every time he sees me, if I'm not here in the worship room while worship is going on, asks me for a pop out of the kitchen. Can you get me a pop out of the kitchen? Do you have the ability to go into the kitchen and get me a pop? I said, I have the ability. But we have people in charge of the kitchen. I wouldn't want to violate their authority. Oh, well, who are they? I said, sometimes it changes. I don't know who's on this week. So a person walks by, is that one of them? Now, we give kind of a nice little deal for a half hour between 10 and 10:30. But, this person's had that, but how about some pop? Let's add some pop onto that. Isn't that human nature? I had this, but how about a little bit more? I had this level of comfort, but how about a little bit more? And he trusts us to go against that. And say, let me die for you. Let me go to countries where I'm not going to be comfortable and minister for you. Let me spend my time in spiritual meetings rather than just whooping it up in the world. Come on now. What I could do with those 15 hours on... isn't that long, is it? With those several hours on Sunday, think what I could do to feed myself, to make me feel good. And I hear God will still love me. He'll still love me. He'll still love me if I'm not in a spiritual meeting on Sunday. What kind of a risk does he take to have us all come together? And many of the meetings across the earth aren't going so well. If you read in the Bible, they didn't go so well. People were doing things that Paul had to, don't do this. It hurts people. It's not how we worship God. Much of the New Testament is correction of things that were happening. False teachers. People coming in that used to worship at the temples, now they're trying to bring that kind of worship into the church. He had to try to correct all that. But Father's up in heaven. He's not shook up. He took the risk. And he's not shook up that people are, my golly, the whole group of people in the church are doing the wrong thing. God, help us. I think he was looking to our day. where there would still be a vast majority of nominal, but there are those that want to live radical. And they're willing to meet the Father's risk. They're willing to love Him more than themselves, more than their preferences, than their pleasures. They'd rather be in worship than have the can of pop. They'd rather see God move than anything, any pleasure that they could enjoy. That's amazing that we would meet the risk that God has taken. And He knew it, of course. It's not a risk to Him because He knew that His gifts, His love, lavished on us over and over again, that we just wanted more of Him if He never gave us another thing, if He never worked out another situation for us. Think of some of those martyrs in the first century and beyond. You know, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Wow. They were willing to give their lives, their health, their welfare, their comfort, everything for the cause of Christ. Many believers on the earth are faced with that as well. China and other places. Many places in India. Their life is on the line every day. They could walk out in the street and just be terrorized by religious people. But they loved Jesus so much, they're willing to do that. He gives us freedom. If you know the Son, you can be free indeed. John 8:36. He gives us such freedom. But that freedom can be abused, can't it? We can decide to forget it, God. I'm going to do this today. I have freedom. I'm free. I'm going to go over here and do my thing today. I'm free. You still have to love me, God. You said so. Unconditional love. So I'm going to go over here and do this. And I'll come in at the proper time and shake everybody's hand and pat everybody on the back and give a couple smiles away and we'll just cruise. Cruise through life. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. Woo! You still love me, God. You told me so. He takes a risk when we cop that attitude. Takes a risk. And yet He's willing to do that. He's always been willing to do that. Why doesn't He just inspire fear, cause shame, and give instant punishment? Cross over the line, instant punishment. Boy, if there were, you know, a few people getting fried in the congregation every week when the Word of God was given from the front, that would make an impression. You know, not just a little wind on the microphone, but actual thunder and lightning. And one of the strikes, you know, hits home. Wow, you know, it'd be a smaller congregation, but I just bet the fruit of the Spirit would be moving. Woo! We'd be on our faces before God. The fear of God would not just be some kind of concept we're trying to work on and figure out. It would be reality. But He doesn't choose that. Why not shame us all? Everybody from the door up to the altar, put your nose down. You know it. You deserve it. Come on now. Every one of you. All I'm doing is giving the call. I'll join you in a moment. Well, we're going to take our noses and we're going to scrape them along the floor all the way to the altar and worship God. Now, that would be just. It would be shaming. And for some of us, it might actually work. It might work better than grace, mercy, love, and all the rest that we're offered, because we feel that way many times. But he doesn't use that approach. Why not? It always worked when I taught school. Go ahead, honey. Come on. So he takes all this risk for what? So we can choose. No fence around the tree in the garden. They could choose. No fence around you. So you can choose. In fact, we have people telling us so often the rules that we've made for them. Would you go get those handbook of rules that we have? Pass them out so everyone knows what those rules are. Will you get the handbooks? I think they're in the... Aren't they in that cupboard by the office? Handbook of rules. And we pass it out to everybody, and they all know the rules. Well, the ones that have already memorized them have told us what the rules that are that we have set. Frontline, or maybe it's even personal. Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, they are telling us to do this. They have set the standard. We dare not violate Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat and their rules. And some of you, whether you know it or not, have spoken those to us. Some of you don't even know it came out of your mouth, what rules we have for you. I've been told, through others, of course, reports I've received, that I've given people absolute directional words. Where to go, where to work, where not to work, where to live with, who to marry, things like that. Who not to marry. Nice to know. I didn't realize it. It would make it a lot easier. And, think about God. Wouldn't he be able to just rip it up in that realm? Hey, let me tell you who to marry right now. Let's get it over with. No process, no, waiting around, no waiting for that person. Let's just get it over with. I'm going to give it to you right now. What if he gave us all the revelation he had for our whole life right now? Blow our everything to pieces. See, he's even gracious in that. He won't give us the whole plan right now because we can't handle it. If he would have told me I was going to marry this wild spiritual woman, at the time, and would have given me more details? No. It was enough that she spoke in tongues. And I knew it at the time. She's a tongue stalker. Okay. I know what that means. Into that wild stuff. Woo! I had to deal with that. What if he had revealed everything to me at once? All this craziness. Wouldn't have worked. Would have blown my little computer. So he's even gracious in that. He lays it out for us. Gives us little bites at a time. God, give me your whole plan. Never pray that. Give me your whole plan for my life. I need to know. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you think you said no as a 2-year-old and he gave you the whole plan for your life, you'd be, no, God. No, not that. You can't ask me to do that. But when he gives it to you as you grow, as you go, it's a different deal. All you have to do is step up one more step rather than take the whole stairs in one leap. He's awesome that way. Do we appreciate it? Sometimes. You should be very happy he doesn't answer all your prayers. Because some of them, he is being so gracious not to answer it. Wrong timing. Praying amiss. Asking for too much before you need to know it. Ask for the revelation for today. The bread for today. He's very good about laying it out in simple terms for us. So we have a choice. Draw near or draw away.
Draw near.
Draw near or draw away. Draw near or draw away. Seems simple, right? In fact, you know, need a couple people to help. We're not passing something out. You're actually coming up here and standing. One of you won't like what you get. Who's coming? Two people. Okay, just two for now. All right, here you go. And here you go. That's what I like. Everybody has an opinion. Okay. So, radical. Well, let's start with nominal. Of, relating to, or being a noun or word of, or expression, taking a noun construction. Gee, thank you. It's supposed to be a definition. Get Pastor Mary Pat to rewrite this. And of, relating to, or constituting a name. Bearing the name of a person. Existing or being something in name or form only. Of, being, or relating to, a designated or theoretical size that may vary from the actual. No. We're going to go back to that. Being or relating, no. Existing or being something in name or form only. And then the rest are about the banking system, how they don't give you enough interest. Phenomenal. Radical, of, relating to, or proceeding from a root. You know, like the little roots off of the root. Those are called radical. Is that right, farmer there? Oh, that's right. Sorry, that's right. You're pigs. Chickens. Okay. Chickens, I think. Of, relating to, or constituting a linguistic root. Of, or relating to, a mathematical root. Oh, we don't need those. Marked by a considerable departure from the usual or traditional. Extreme. Tending or disposed to make extreme changes in existing views, habits, conditions, or institutions. And so on. The rest are political. That never works anyway, so. Okay, so we have our nominal, our radical. Where should we put the devil? Well, you've played him before. Now you get him. Now, what about the flesh? Please point. Do something. Show me. Very good. Okay. Let's see what else we have here. How about... Wow, there's some really bad ones in here. Eternal. It depends on how you... I mean, they're both going to have to deal with the eternal, but I see what you're saying. Okay. How about... Awesome. You're very good, 100% so far. Depends. If you're radical, you could take the whole world for Christ, but we'll put it over here. Very good. She wanted it. See, she wanted the world. She is radical. Boy, you're loading up, dude. Good thing he's for Israel. I mean, Okay?
Fearful and prideful. Bold and phenomenal.
Not Jimmy Carter, Jimmy Carnal. Okay.
Grace is radical.
Radical. Now, what if I were to say sheep, goats?
Sheep, radical, goats, denominal.
Well, we'll let you think about that one. We'll let you think about that one. Matthew 25, but that's for your own study. See if it's that simple on that one. Anyway, we've got our nominal person and our radical person. Let's see. Grace. All over this person. They're hot rather than cold. They're not even lukewarm. They're hot. I'd rather that you be hot or cold. This one's hot. Spirit. They follow the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, grow in the Spirit, care about Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit. Eternal things are on their mind. So kind of like revival in her heart, and eternity is stamped on the inside of her eyelids. So everywhere she goes, she's thinking eternity, and she has the revival fire, and she's thinking of people that may miss eternity, and so on and so on and so on. Eternal values, caring about people more than things that are just going to burn up off this earth and so on. Spiritual acts. Like she is. A radical acts like they are, right? Fruit of the Spirit is in their life. So they act like it. Alive in every way. Can you really walk around alone and radical? Alone and alive? You're going to want to interact with people some way or another if you're really radical. Somehow. Because it's God's treasure. So not only are you alive, you have to be connected in relationship with others, connected very strongly with God in order to truly be alive. You can't just go off into the desert and stay there your whole life and really be spiritually alive. You need other people to adjust what you think about God, what you think about other people. A lot of the writers that were monks and went off by themselves, some of their stuff's good, but there's a bunch of it that isn't. Why? They didn't relate to other people. No one ever adjusted them. They weren't open to any kind of adjustment at all. So they got some things right about God. They got a lot of stuff that's wrong about God. So when you hear someone say, I just want to go to the woods and be with God. I know that that'll do it. Because, you know, me, God, nature. Wrong idea. It won't work. Grace. We went back to that one. Okay. And then over here, of course, the world, the devil, the flesh, our influences constantly on this person. And they're nominal, so they've chosen that. It's not like, you know, the devil came up one day and grabbed a hold of them and they couldn't get away. They can always get away. They can always get away. Because Jesus, when he's alive, Resurrection life, it's always available. World, the devil, you know, going to constantly bombard this person, but they're saying, yeah, I'll take it. I don't really want all that is given to me, and we'll talk about that in a minute, in order to escape. Okay, the law, they like the law because they know they're going against it, but they've chosen to. So they're kind of like radical in their rebellion. I'm going to go against the law. Hey, it's all right. I haven't been fried yet. Nothing's happening to me. God still loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Well, he does love every person. Loves this person. They're cold. They're not hot. They might think they're lukewarm, but there is no such thing. If you're lukewarm, you're cold. Thinking about things that are temporal, things I can touch, smell, see, feel. Those are the things I'm into. That's what I want out of life. And, you know, one way or another, they're dead. Choosing death, even though they might have some knowledge of Jesus, they're kind of choosing the way of death. They might even have some revelation that they've grabbed somewhere along the line, but it gets warped in the process. And so they're on kind of a death path. And of course, carnal, meaning they give in to whatever the body says, the flesh says. What the world gives me a new idea, I'll try that. They might hold back from some things. Oh, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't chew. But they have other things that are unguarded, and they just, unguarded lusts, and they just are part of that. So when I say these things, why are your faces like sad? You know, God is still happy, even though there are nominal Christians, nominal believers, nominal people around. Because he's always taking the risk to draw them to himself. See, he doesn't give up on nominal like we sometimes do. We see somebody nominal, we see somebody struggling, and we go, oh man, come on. He doesn't do that. He is still coming towards them, still wanting to embrace them. Very, very blessing and favor-oriented towards the radical person. But he goes after the one sheep, the one lamb, leaves the 99. He's already given them all they need for life and godliness. He's entrusted. He takes the risk. He believes in them. Obviously, God never really leaves, as it says in that little story. He is constantly empowering. But the idea is, he can go ahead and turn to the one that has completely walked away from him and extend love and love and love, and he believes love will win over. Rather than, you naughty boy, put your head down in shame. That's exactly right. That's what happens, isn't it? If we take that approach, that's what happens. People don't want to hear naughty, naughty boy. They don't. And we have to find a different way to approach it. We have to approach it like Father rather than like we would in the natural. That's why we're constantly learning from him. So, deeds of the flesh, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Sorry, Andy, we're still describing you. I hope you don't mind. While we're looking this up, Andy, is there some reason why you almost jumped at being the devil in that skit? Can you maybe explain that to us while we're looking up this scripture? No, 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 no. The between two worlds.
Oh, yes. Well,
were supposed to use the word risk in there somewhere. That would help me out. It's okay, though. We'll let it go. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, sobering. But the nominal person says, the nominal Christian, the nominal believer says, I'll take that risk. While the Father has risked all that they could be radical, they decide to risk all to see if they can somehow make it into heaven on the minimum. Make sense? Try to make it in on the minimum, as through fire, the Bible says. So in other words, you're kind of a little singed, you know, and it kind of scoots you into heaven. Not the best way to go. Because, you know, in doing some research on this topic, there are passages that would scare the willies out of even the most radical Christian. Hebrews 10, read through that sometime, like three times. There, you know, you're going to feel like, am I radical? Am I going to make it? Whoa, he's pretty serious here. And there are other passages that, you know, if you're just going to play around with the grace of God, whoa, it's not something to play with. You know, it talks about trampling on, you know, what Christ has done. Whoa, serious stuff. So the person that just says, well, you know, I'll be nominal because then I can have the both best of both worlds. Whoa. That's a hugely dangerous place to be, even with all the mercy, forgiveness, unconditional love, and so on. This is still a relationship with God. Relationship. It's not like, oh, you got to jump over so many hoops and you'll make it to heaven. It's not based on that anymore. It's how close can you get to the Father? Do you want to be close to the Father? Do you want to listen to the Father that loves you and knows the best for your life? It's based on a relationship now. So if you don't have one with the Father, you know, 1 John talks about if you don't love your brother, if you hate your brother, you don't love him, and you can't say you have a relationship with God. What? Just for not loving my brother? I mean, I probably have done that a few times. You know, if it's a consistent thing in our life that we're putting self first, it's a dangerous ground to play with. Well, I received Jesus. Do you know there are lots of people that say that? Exactly. Lots of people. Lots of people. and sometimes they're thinking that's the thing to say in a certain context, or I can fool God if I say that. You don't fool God. He knows the motives of our heart, the intentions of our heart. Sorry, Andy. But, fortunately, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the fruit of the Spirit is available lavishly. You know, He can't wait to give that to us. But interesting that it's the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. So it's what this person does, in a sense. It shows they're nominal or they don't really care, have the gratitude for what Christ has done. Where this person, it's who they are. You know, it's like God. He's love. Boom. He's not like love. He doesn't have lots of love. He is love. That's what happens in the radical believer. They become all these wonderful things. They become radical. They become grace-filled. They become hot after the Lord. They become Spirit-filled. They're caring about eternal things, spiritual in what they say, what they do. Alive, fully alive. You can tell that they're a believer and that they're after God. And they're not, you know, too shook up about the opinions of man. When they go into work, everybody at work knows they're a Christian. Like it or not. And they're not going to change or, you know, they're not going to hold back just because everybody knows they're a Christian. They might be considerate. They might be careful. They'll ask Holy Spirit when to speak and not speak, but they're not going to hold back when He says speak. Now, do they do it perfectly? No. He doesn't ask for perfection. He asks for maturity. So they're going to, the times that they fail, they're going to say, hey, I think I can do better. And the Lord's going to help me with it. They're not going to say, I'm going to do it. They know where that falls. That's part of the flesh. So, what are some characteristics of the nominal? They reject love. They like milk rather than solid food. You know, give me all the messages, please, on the Father's love. Those are the ones I want to hear about. I like it when Pastor Bill speaks because he speaks on the Father's love. He's all about the Father's love, and Father's love, and Father's love. But the minute he says sin, I don't want to hear that. Did God, in speaking about Father's love and sharing all He has in the Scriptures about the Father's love, did He ever back off about talking about sin? No, because that shows He really cares. It shows He really knows where we live. And so He talks about it a lot. Because He really does love us and He doesn't want us to fall for those traps and those lies. Okay, the nominal. They reject love. They don't value revelation. You know, every pastor that speaks across America, if they know the Lord and they're Spirit-filled and on and on and on, if they feel they have an anointing, they're actually expecting that you'll listen to them. The things that they share out of the heart of God. All the speakers here that we have, I know they're hoping they would be totally blessed to their socks if you took everything they said as the revelation of God, as you checked it out with the Scriptures. Of course, they're going to make a little misstep here and there and misspeak something here or there. Might not be quite totally accurate here or there. But I'm talking about the major things that they center on. If they actually have the revelation of God that they're giving, it should bring more fear of God throughout the body, the right fear, respect, appreciation, gratitude for God throughout the body, and it should bring more love for each other. It should just gush out of us, a gushing love towards each other, if the revelation is received. So across America, there's a lot of discouraged pastors. Because they give the word of God, They give it with the anointing of God, with the spirit filling of God. And the people go, I'll think about it. Let you know whether I'm going to do it or not, whether I'm going to follow through or not, whether I'm going to believe what you say or not. You're just so-and-so. What do you know? I mean, they start all the games to fight against it. But here I find there are some people listening. I don't think I've ever been in a place where I could say, what did I speak about 2 weeks ago, since we speak just about every other week, and someone would remember. Never happened in school. What did we talk about 2 weeks ago? How would I know? I got spring fever. You expected me to listen to you and do the homework? As fifth and sixth graders? Are you kidding me? But I know some of you know what I talked about 2 weeks ago. What did I talk about? Yeah, it was Mother's Day, so talked about the place of women in the body of Christ and how there's no male or female anymore because of Jesus. And, you know, the head can mean the source, but it doesn't necessarily place men, you know, in absolute authority over women. Now, we had Pastor Mary Pat then come up and say, you know, don't start some kind of a rebellion anywhere, because all of us are supposed to be submitting to one another. And there's certain roles in the church that you'd want to submit to the leadership of that role. But it's not based on male or female. Thank the Lord for that. What a bunch of malarkey that we've bought for way too long on that. Okay, I almost preached that one again. Okay. Characteristics of the nominal. I think we got the point. Thank you. I know you've been gracious. I didn't think it was going to take so long. Immature spiritually. You know, they really like the milk, not the solid food. Some of you keep coming back for the solid food. It's amazing to me, really. It's awesome, because it's not easy going here. It's not easy being a part of this body, because the person in the pew could be challenging you much more than the person up here in front speaking. There have been a few people that have come here, and they've talked to me afterwards, and they said, I have never, ever been to a church like yours. I was sitting in a pew minding my own business, and there were like 10 people that came up to me in the pew, not coming through the doors, in the pew, welcoming me. You know, it's great to see you. You know? Well, I don't go to this. That doesn't matter. Giving out love. They were like shocked. I don't know why they don't go here. No, but I, you know, and they were telling me, and I said, well, I can't take any credit for that. I mean, they decided to latch on to what the Lord has for them. And he looked at me kind of strange, like, I mean, you could take a little, they're not around. I mean, you could go ahead and take a little right now. But it was honest. You can't make that happen. A pastor can't make that happen. Oh, they can legislate it. Put in the bulletin, make sure you smile at everybody that comes through the door. Make sure you welcome them. Or say it from the front occasionally or something. But I'm talking about just from your heart, seeing somebody new and taking the step out of your comfort zone to go over and say, hi, how are you? What's your name? Where are you from? Sometimes we're the last people to meet them because they get surrounded. I like that. I think that's cool. Because it shows you can't help it. It just gushes out of you. The love of Jesus. For the nominal, fight or flight, they choose flight. You know, rather than fight the spiritual battles that they would have to fight as a nominal believer, sooner or later they'll run. I call them tumbleweed. And they'll end up in another church because this one isn't good enough. Or the next one isn't good enough. Or the one after that. And their reasons for leaving aren't necessarily that they had any big thing. It was just some small thing. And they didn't like it, and it kept happening. They never asked me, and I never talked to them, and I'm out of here. Well, maybe I had to talk to them. Maybe they would change it. Maybe you got a good suggestion. But very few people that leave talk to the leadership. Like, if you adjusted this, we might like it here. And then allow the leadership to say, well, the reason we don't do it that way is because of this. And it actually might make some sense. And people wouldn't have to go out the door. But they run rather than talk, rather than relate. Or they float. Flight or float. Rather than fighting the spiritual battle, you float along, you know. Go where the water takes you. You never go upstream. Oh, no. Always downstream and just kind of, you know, floating along, whatever the weather, whatever I think is right, whatever a mix of what I've heard from the Bible and speakers and what I think, and it's a floating, easily deceived, easily directed in the wrong direction, and often you end up following some goofy guy that says the rapture is going to happen on May 21st. One of the main characteristics, they're easily offended. You know, it takes a real battle not to be offended. It's so easy to be offended. Pastor Bill didn't smile at me during the sermon. He kind of looked at me with those, you know, dad eyes rather than father eyes, if you know what I mean. He didn't say hi to me when he walked by me. He didn't give me a hug. Of course, I didn't give him a hug. Easily offended over something small. People have left churches over the color of the carpet. Oh my gosh, you guys have proved yourselves. This is awesome. Anybody who'd sit on orange seats for years. You know, we keep saying, we're going to change those. We will. We will, but you're patient. Pride triumphs over humility. For the nominal person, the one just trying to follow God a little bit, put him in the back pocket. I'll just keep God in the back pocket here just in case I need him. He's servant to me. Whatever I need, I call on him and he gives me what I need. So I'll keep him back here in the back pocket. No, that's a prideful thing to think that you can keep God under control. You're going to control God, or you're going to have God answer to you. Well, I don't know if I believe that about God, that he's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. I don't know if I fully believe that.
I believe it.
I know you do, Paul. Some kind of a prideful, I'll analyze it, and then I'll see if God makes the grade. That's a nominal person. They lack gratitude. It's huge. After all God has given, and we're going to go over that in a minute, all he's given, hasn't given me this though. All he's lavished, but he hasn't taken care of this problem for me. That's a path towards being nominal. One of the ones that happens all the time, they add or take away from Scripture. Deuteronomy 4:2 and Revelation 22:18, if you want to look those up afterwards. Old Testament, New Testament, same thing. There's an adding to Scripture or taking away from Scripture. Oh, I believe this about this issue in the Bible. That's what I believe. Okay, have you read through the rest of the Bible to check it out? Or did you camp on one verse and that was the end of it? They're masters at manipulating the Word of God to fit their lifestyle. So if, you know, if you feel like, wow, I'm making an excuse here for something I'm doing right now, it's not like you're going to be, you're like you're totally nominal, but you're just falling into nominal thinking. That's what a nominal person does. They take Scripture and they don't just follow it and desire it and desire the purity of it. They want to make it say a certain thing. And number 10, they're deceived. A nominal person has some deception in their life that's running something in their life in the wrong direction. It's taking them away from God rather than closer to God. So all of this, and yet God takes a risk on us. We could fall into this nominal so easily. It's the easiest way to go. You have to fight not to be nominal. You can't just float. You have to fight. And so those of you that are in the battle, you know it's a battle. To try to, you know, go after God with all your heart, that takes a battle. That takes fighting. You can't just float. And he takes that risk that we'll fight to be in his presence. We'll fight to pray. We'll fight to fast. We'll fight to step into the gifts of the Spirit. We'll fight our fears to go after him. He takes all that risk. And believes in us. Believes we're going to actually keep on going. Step up, step up, step up. Rather than falling back. Why does he take that risk? Well, you know the answer is his love. But what provision has he made for it? To bottom line it, the provision he makes is his goodness. That's what he has to offer us. It's not like, here's the rule book, you know, follow these rules. There you go. Now you'll please me. No, he says, get to know me, how good I am, how gracious I am, how loving I am, how I give you everything that you need, that you really need. I provide it for you. I know your heart better than you know your heart. I'm going to provide my goodness. 2 Peter 1. Now, just because some of you are starting to snooze doesn't mean I think you're nominal, okay? Don't even think that way. I would never think that. I would think you're soaking. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 3. Simon Peter, bondservant and the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. As his divine power is given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. He's already provided all of it for us. Even the power to live it out. If we think we're going to grit our teeth and become radical or stay radical and not slip into being nominal, it won't work. It won't happen. We have to be so connected with him He's the one that empowers our next step up. Now, that's something I didn't know for a long time in the Christian life. And I was gritting my teeth, and I was trying to obey, and I was like, gosh, I think I get this ping pong ball below the surface of the water over here in the bathtub, and this one pops up. And, you know, I'm trying to keep all these ping pong balls, you know, under the water, and gee, I need my prayer life in shape, and I need, oh my, I don't witness enough, and I got to read the Bible more. Oh, I got to study the Bible more. Oh, I got to study the Greek and the Hebrew. Oh boy. And I've got all these ping pong balls, and I'm trying to keep them under the water. And whoa. Some of them are popping up. And finally, you got the revelation, fall into the Father's arms. He's the one that can take care of all these things. He can keep all the ping pong balls under the water. And when they do pop up, it's not a huge disaster. He just wants your heart. He wants your heart. Not what you can do. He wants you to be something. It's like, wow. That's a whole lot better. I was trying to do this all on my own. And half the time I was trying to please some man. Bible study leader or a pastor or somebody. I was trying to please them. Too low. Go higher. No, please the King of Kings. Fall in love with Him to the point that, wow, you're running to the Bible for the answers. It's not just, well, I'm going to study this book because I should. I'm going to study Philippians because I know it's good. That's why I'm doing it. What's it for? Study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. As a good workman. That's why you study. But what did you learn from Philippians? I learned to study the Word. What did it do for your life? I know Philippians a whole lot better than I used to. It's not knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Knowing Jesus is what keeps us grounded, and we realize we need Him. And in Philippians, there's like things in there that just, oh, so tasty. They're wonderful. But when I had the pressure of, I've got to study or go to know these books of the Bible for some reason. Why? Because I was dishing them out like this. Everybody had a problem. I had 14 scriptures. Why it was bad. Oh, that helped him. Giving him a list. I needed to give him more of the Father. More relationship. Show them how gracious He is to them and loving He is to them. And yes, there are scriptures I should share, but the ones Holy Spirit says to share. Whole different deal. Because I had to rely on Holy Spirit to do that. I could rely on Bill just to give a list out. These are 14 scriptures I know about tithing, you know, or whatever. Here's your list. Be so easy. Just come in here on Sunday morning, pass out my list to people that have asked me questions. Here you go. Here's your list. It's a whole lot more difficult to say, Holy Spirit. Well, that would be easy. Wait, Holy Spirit, help me to show love to this person in the way they need to hear it from You. I want it to come from You. If it just comes from me, it's not enough. It doesn't do enough for them. It has to be You coming through me to them. Completely different. So, he's given us all these things for life and godliness. What does He give us? Salvation. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in abundance to the point that He lives in us, works through us, empowers us, strengthens us. Sonship. Wow. We can walk right up to the Father. No veil. No hindrances. Nothing in our way. Walk before Him and say, here I am, Lord. Such as I am, here I am. But I'm Your son. I can always say that. I'm Your son. I have not been the best son this week, but I'm Your son. I have been a terrific son this week, but I need to go higher. I need to get greater. You need to expand in me. I need to listen to You more. But I can be in joy rather than the way I used to approach God. Every time I approached Him, I was disappointed in me. Disappointed in me. Disappointed in me. Looking at me. Looking at me. Looking at me. It's the wrong approach. You look at him and tell him how great he is, how awesome he is, how wondrous he is. How in the world could you want me as your son? But you do! And worship your heart out to him, no matter where you're at. You don't need to have just that place at home. You can be in your car, you can be in a store. I mean, people have looked so weird at me in the store. I can't help it. Start, you know, worshiping, and they're looking at me like, what's your deal, dude? I don't, you know, does it matter? Who cares? It's kind of funny. More and more, I relish in it. It's kind of fun when you shake somebody up. Why are you so happy? Oh, boy. We've got an answer. Got an answer. It doesn't have to start out with, well, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. You know, we can just naturally share with them what's going on in our heart at the moment, and it gets to Jesus. I love that. I used to have the four spiritual laws in one pocket and the bridge to life in the other pocket. Rarely was there a real good opportunity, ever once in a while, but rarely was there a real good opportunity, because they taught us in the navigators, draw out the bridge. Only takes 15 minutes, you would tell the person. And they're like, I don't have 15 minutes. I can do it in 12. I'm really good at it. I've been practicing. It was so freeing not to have to think that I had to start there. That's such a big leap for a lot of people. Just love on them. Just be natural with them. Just show them that you're enjoying Jesus. That shakes them up. What are you doing singing in my store? What are you doing singing in the car next to me? What's on that radio station? We mentioned the fruit of the Spirit. He lavishes that on us. And he gives us the opportunity to repent. Isn't that great? A father that you can say sorry to and he listens every time. Already covered it. You come to him and you say, Father, forgive me. I repent. The reason it's so refreshing, like Acts 3:19, it says, you know, you'll have refreshing presence of the Lord after repentance. The reason it's so refreshing is because he's like, got it covered. Already covered that. Already died for that. Oh, by the way, I forgot that. I forgot that sin. It's never to be remembered anymore. I don't put a list on the board and say, yeah, I remember the last time you did that. This is the 52nd time this week. The list is not there. Forgiven. Forgotten. Why aren't we approaching him with the gratitude of our hearts? Never even coming close to being nominal. Well, I see a lot of people on that path here. Anybody that sticks around for such a long message. You've got to be radical, some way or another. I know the hour and out crowd. I already know about them. They're not here. We sorted them out a long time ago. So he provides all these things, and you could make your own list. On and on and on and on. What's he counting on? What's he taking the risk about? That his goodness will win over our old man. That our old man won't be enough anymore. I have got to be close to God. I have got to be close to him. The old man and the nominal way of trying to fit God into my life is just not going to work anymore for me. I have to go beyond that. I have to go after God. I have to worship him. I have to let it out. I have to let him solve my issues. I have to let leadership solve my issues. I have to let a focus group leader solve my issues. I'm going to allow them because I want to be closer to the Lord. I want to be closer to you, Jesus, your precious treasure. So last passage, Romans 6. If you haven't read this passage, this chapter in a while, I'm going to do it for you with my, I think I actually put on my specs. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are the ones slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin and became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Awesome. Free from sin, slaves to God. You have your fruit to holiness. And I'm saying this morning, he's taken the risk on us because he knows he can empower us to live that. That's an awfully high calling. You know, 1 John, if you read through that, you're not supposed to even sin. What does that mean? It's saying that he can empower us to the point that we have no lifestyle whatsoever of sin. No particular thing in our life that becomes so entrenched that it can't be gotten rid of. And so our sin is like, oh, a surprise. You know, oh, gosh, I said something screwy to that person. Please forgive me. And you don't have to spend your whole day going, man, I'm a sinner. Man, I'm a sinner. Gee, I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm a sinner. But rather, you're going around rejoicing in God so much that, you know, you're starting to soar above the plane of sin. It's awesome. That's what I want for every one of us. Continually. And the message is not given so that, oh, okay, let's see, am I nominal or am I radical? Just like Father, I'm assuming you're radical. That's what he does. I'm assuming you're going to be radical, or that you are radical. That's his assumption. He starts with that. Why? Because he's provided so much to make that happen. Starting with the death of Jesus. Just that resurrection alone, that event, changed everything for people on the earth, because now they can be resurrected out of any situation, out of any spiritual doldrums. They have resurrection rights because of Jesus. See, we take these things much too lightly. We need to see the depth of them. The depth is, he can turn us around, no matter where we're at. Or he can take us on to the next spiritual level if we're doing well. It's awesome! He's going to do it. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. We give you praise. And I lied once again, Lord, because I'm going to read one more passage. But I know your grace is sufficient. Ephesians 4:14, I read it back to you, Father. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Father, we thank you that that's true for us. It was as it was true for believers 2,000 years ago. We relish the fact that you give us your goodness in so many, many ways. Help us to have the gratitude to receive it in fullness and go on to the next spiritual level, Father, for each one of us, God. We thank you that you're taking us on the journey. We're thanking you that you take us on the adventure. Father, we love you. We desire to be totally radical for you. We want what you want, Lord, because you are so good. You lavish on us, and we love it as your children. Thank you for inviting us in so close and taking the risk. Thank you for giving us freedom to choose and taking the risk. Because, Father, we don't want to disappoint you. We don't want to disappoint you. We want to receive all your gracious gifts, be empowered to obey you, and love others, Father. We give you praise. We honor you today. We lift up your name as the only name that should be lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
If you did not receive one of the handouts, Cynthia had made some extras. Can you raise your hands, please? Oh, boy. Okay. Can someone help pass these out? And Amy, I've asked Amy to really partner with me, help me out in the area of the house of prayer. And she's going to share her heart and explain some things to all of us and has prepared a handout so that we have a better understanding, a better working knowledge of what that will be, and I ask that you would support her as a point person here who's helping the coordination of all of this. It's grown and increased, which is a wonderful joy to have. It really is. It's not a problem. It's just like, wow, this is great. And also Rachel is going to be overseeing and taking a point person place for the Frontline Ministries International Children's Home in Rajahmundry, India. And Teresa and Christy will be assisting her and helping her in that area. We're still working on Southeast Asia Redemption, and there are some who are still moving around, so I'm not going to be speaking out names at the moment, but I know some have expressed an interest. So things are happening on that front. We just had a major donation that came in. There was a plea from God from these people who are involved in the Southeast ministry there, and they said, we really want to start construction. We need to start construction. We need $40,000 to start construction. We have 22 acres. These children are in rented homes. These children are on top of each other because of the rescues. I cry when I think about it. But 22 children, guys, hear this, okay? 22 children have been rescued since January out of the brothels. 35 are in the rescue right now. And there's a covert plan, undercover plan for more children being rescued this summer. And the Lord's given us the privilege of partnering with these people. It's just gripping. And so some of the monies that were there to actually start the construction for the kids, because they're out of space. They don't know where to put the kids, but they're rescuing anyway. They took that money to rescue kids. So I was able to call Pastor Benjamin today and tell him that all 40,000 has come in. $40,000. $40,000. Lord, we praise you. $40,000 was released. A kingdom cry. So I was able to call him in the middle of this message on his birthday. As he was just waiting for God to do what he promised. Oh, yay, God! So amazing. Thank you. Now, the rest of it comes, you know, for the complex to actually, the money will flood, I know. But this was major. $40,000. We have the privilege of sending him a check for that. Please let that grip your hearts. And that comes from prayer, fasting, being intentional, because we're in love. No nominal in that. That's radical. If you want to help with Roger Mundry, please see me. If you want to help with redemption, which is what I'm just talking about with the 40,000, please see me. I'm just so grateful to the Lord today. There's no room for compromise in our lives. The Lord is so eager to just release and open the windows of heaven in every way, on every front. Finances is part of it. So I'm wrecked by his love again. I just had the privilege of making the phone call. Would you like some good news? Please. We're sending a check for $40,000 to you. So construction will begin immediately. I can't even tell you the laughter and the joy and the praising of God and the worship that was going forward. Just thank you, God, you're so faithful. You mean what you say. Your word is true. You are not a God who lies. Not about our feelings. It's about what he says. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is there anybody else who still needs that handout? A flyer who did not get one? Okay, maybe, Sin, if you can make sure the teachers get one too. All right, Aim. This woman is radical.
Yes. Speaking of radical, I'm very blessed to be a part of a body that considers themselves a house of prayer. And I had the opportunity to make out a handout because we have, as many of you know, we have a lot of different events where we corporately can gather together and really pray and see things changed, not only here, but things changed in our nation, things changed in the world around us, things change in this area. So we really have that opportunity, even as we're cultivating our own personal relationship with the Lord and in prayer, that we have an opportunity to corporately also gather together and through fasting and through praying. So I'm just going to read a verse here and then the first paragraph of the handout. And this is in Isaiah 56:7. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Our heart at Frontline is to be a house of prayer for all nations, where the manifest glory of God fills us corporately, so that his desire for his house to be called a house of prayer would be fulfilled through us. And you can be involved by joining us as we watch, fast, and pray corporately through the Global Bridegroom Fast, 24/7 prayer in Upper Room 120, Throne Room Stations, Watch of the Lord, Soaking Center, Fire and Wind, and Lighthouse Prayer. So we have a lot of opportunities where we can join together in praying. And under that, there's headings and just shares a little bit about each one. In the fasting, we have the opportunity. Usually it's 3 days out of the month where we get to fast and pray and really go after and see things changed around us. And then we also have throne room stations that a lot of times we fast during the throne room stations, and we actually have stations set up here in the sanctuary for the government, for family, for media, for education, where we can pray into those things and see things change. We also have the Soaking Center on Tuesdays 5 to 7 and Fire and Wind 7 to 9, which, as most of you know, when you come, there's just a power that comes down when we're here soaking, and then also at Fire and Wind when we gather corporately to really pray and to see things change. There's been many testimonies of healings, and with that, personal lives, also healings through people outside of the body as we're even praying for them here. Through talking to them, finding out later they've been healed of something physically, emotionally, spiritually. We also have 24/7 prayer in Upper Room 120, where we actually have the opportunity, we partner with Ohio Reformation Prayer Network to really go about praying for a week long, where this building is actually open 24 hours. And we come, we pray, we seek the face of God. And a lot of times also with 24/7 prayer, we also have the Upper Room 120, which consists of worshiping and praying for the 24 hours a day. For the 120, Upper Room 120, it's actually just in evenings that we come and we worship, but it's throughout the whole week. So all ministries during that week are canceled for the evening, and we just come here, we worship, we pray, we join together. And then Lighthouse Prayer is actually where we have an opportunity to pray even throughout the week. And there's times, like I said, Tuesday we have where we join together and pray. And then also we have Wednesday evenings is coming about the times and the people that leading that will be to be determined. But we also have Friday evenings of Lighthouse Prayer that doesn't coincide with First Friday Outreach, which is the first of every month. And then also one Friday each month, we'll be having a healing prayer meeting as part of the Friday Lighthouse, which will be it's something new that's coming, and we're very excited about that. And actually, I think Rachel's going to share a little bit about that.
Well, there's been a Friday night Lighthouse going on here for several years. Teresa's been faithful to have the church open for prayer. But I have been feeling, and some of you, I'm sure too, felt the stirring of the Lord towards healing, and that we've been called to be a people that believes in divine health and healing, and that we see healings, and it's been prophesied over us as a body. One person was Pastor Jose, and Pastor Mary Pat brought that up a few weeks ago, that Pastor Jose had prophesied that we were going to be known for healings here. And just felt a stirring that we needed to take another step to trust the Lord for that and to, you know, press forward into that. And so we're going to have one Friday night a month, which we have to come up with that schedule. but one Friday night that's like a night for healing prayer. If you want to have a time where someone can sit with you and pray with you, that's you know, more than we have a lot of opportunities for healing coming forward and getting prayer, or you know, raising your hand in the pew. Or but if you feel like, you know, I need to come and receive prayer, you know, that's something I want. whatever healing means to you, whether it's physical or, you know, personal, you need healing, that there'll be somebody here on that Friday night that you can come and say, hey, here I am, pray for me, and they can flood you with prayer, and we can contend as a body to see the things, conditions, or, you know, things that we've been struggling with, see those healed, and we want to see all of us walking in divine health. So that schedule is coming soon, but just so you know, that's available.
So if a couple people want to help pass these out. Just as you look at this, just look at the bottom here and just really encourage you to become involved with the Watch of the Lord, with the throne room stations, because we're really excited for what God is doing with that. And it tells you the upcoming dates for the throne room stations, for the Watch of the Lord, and the fasting also. Also, if you'd like more information, it does give you a little explanation on this paper, but if you would like even more information, for those of you that don't know, we do have a table out there by the doors. As you walk in, on your left-hand side, there's a little table, and it says House of Prayer above it, and there's brochures. There's also a yellow sheet that has all the dates from the beginning of this year for the Watch of the Lord and fasting and for the throne room stations. And we also have many brochures that are wonderful, give a summary of what each of these are and what God's called us to really partner with people around the world. As you can see, the Watch of the Lord, we had the opportunity to partner with All Nations Church, Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, which God's done amazing things throughout their ministry, and we have the opportunity to partner with them. And so if you'd like more information about that, there are brochures out there on the table that can give you more information. So,
Last weekend for Mission Training Weekend, Amy and Rachel presented so beautifully their hearts for prayer to the mission teams. And there was just an outbreak of the Lord. It was amazing. And I was talking with Amy and said, thank you, Amy, for loving the Lord in this way and seeing the need to come into a place of prayer and worship and intercession, what that really looks like. And would you like to help out in this area? And she says, yes, I would love that. And so she felt also that it would be very helpful to be able to explain a little bit further about the House of Prayer and who we are, how God sees us as people who are missionaries, radical ones who love Jesus, who are trying to love our families and do all that we can do for the Lord as we are becoming who He is releasing inside of us, which is so nice. And so Amy said, well, maybe I can explain something, just give a general explanation overall. I said, that'd be great. So that's why today. So I'm very excited about that. But I wanted to tell you also, so many things are happening on this. We're in a momentous time right now. There's a momentum just going forward. On the home front, Andy and I were working on a video clip. It's already outdated, that we want to send to as many people, places that we can think of. And we need your help. It's for redemption. It's all about informing people and calling them to take a stand for righteousness and justice, to love Jesus, love others, see children released from the sex trade, etc. And so he was over at our house yesterday filming, and there was a desire also to say, guys, join us as we stand to just receive that $40,000 to begin. And so before the film is even edited, the video is even edited, it's already outdated. It's just our God. He's so good. And we have to go back and fix it before it's sent out so this can be used to bring in much more and to call people to the front lines for what they've been created to do. And I know many of you have that stirring when you hear something about the idea of human trafficking and all that entails. And we don't have little children in here, so we can say, you know, the victims of sex trade and the atrocities and the evils and such that surround that. Let God get you. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time asking Him, Lord God, what can I do? Where can I fit? Just count me in, Lord. I want to pray. I also want to see results from my prayers. So we're beginning to see those results on a higher scale. I believe we've taken a jump up in the Spirit. I really do. Not just because of the dollar amount, although that's very significant. People in here are listening. People we know are receiving. This is wonderful. So let's ask the Lord how we can sow, where we can sow as we receive from Him, so that the laws of sowing and reaping really take full effect in our lives. When we receive from Him, then there's a response of sowing, however that sowing will look. And that's our role, as well as receiving from the Lord. So let's see what God will do. Let's just say to the Lord in our hearts, we want to grow up in this season. Remember, I was preaching last week, and we don't want to have any more Pampers. Okay? We want to be big boys and big girls, meaning we want to mature in the areas of finances, understanding the prophetic, of intercession, of stepping in. And you know, as we do that, as we step in, as Pastor Bill was saying, and just say, yes, Lord, I want to receive your love. I just want more of your fire, more of your love. Sin isn't an issue. It's not a problem. It's just something that's maybe get in the way, because we're moving. We're going. This is the direction. Amen? So that's the heart, and that's the release over this body. So, Father, we just celebrate everything about you. We are so in love with you. We thank you, Lord, that the word radical to you means totally sold out, being in love, Nazarite burning on the inside, just taking a step into the unknown, taking great risks, knowing that you're worth it. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that that banner hangs here in this house, and that your love reigns supremely here. Thank you, Lord God, that we are destined for a place, Lord, that you would see, of purity and holiness in greater capacity and measure, because we can, and it so gives you joy. Thank you, Lord, that we are recipients of your joy, your peace, and your righteousness in the Holy Ghost. We thank you, we affirm you, we love you, and Father, thank you for releasing yourself once again, making yourself known. We're so in love with you. In Jesus' name, we all say amen together. So be it. God bless you all. God bless you all. Josh has something.
Just a reminder, if you're in school worship, parties today, go grab some food, meet in here once you've eaten your food, and 2:30 ideally.
Cool projects a week from Saturday, this coming Saturday. It's that close. Touching.